its way before.
Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we are here at the stage in our Lord's Passion, right when he is about to enter Gethsemane. And many believe this conversation with Peter may have taken place in the upper room following the Lord's Supper or soon thereafter on the way to Gethsemane. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was in grade school, our family went to stay with an elderly woman who lived near the town of Princeton, Minnesota, out on a farm. She was a widow, probably in her upper 80s. My parents knew her, and as we first pulled into her driveway, I remember being afraid because on the front of her barn was a ferocious dog that was barking and yelping at our car. Big dog, bigger than I was, which didn't take much back then, but barking and yipping at our car. When we got inside, I remember asking this woman about the dog, and I said, "Where did you know, what's the deal with the dog?" And she said that it was a stray dog that had come into her yard. It originally had been a peaceful dog, but through the years, different children had thrown rocks at the dog and on their way to school and so on, and turned it now so ferocious. And she had to have a big fat chain on the dog. And I remember you could see, when I would go out in the yard, you could see exactly how far that chain permitted that dog to go. I often think of that memory when I consider this text. God has put a chain on the devil that permits him in his evil ways to go only so far. In the context before us, Simon Peter was in the process of boldly predicting that he would never ever fall away from Christ, even though others might, that he would never deny his relationship to his Lord. And Jesus here permits Peter to, if you will, kind of look behind the curtain of the spiritual things that are going on in his own life and the decision process that is going on between God and the devil that impacts his own personal spiritual life. Satan apparently had come before God asking for special permission to tempt Peter in this very unique way, and God had granted the permission. Now we know that God certainly tempts no one to sin. God himself is never the author or the sender of evil or temptation in any way. And yet we do know from Scripture that the Lord does permit temptations to come to us. It's interesting to note here that the devil's personal interest in Peter, and therefore we should assume in each one of us, the personal design that he has and exhibits here before God regarding the spiritual lives of God's children. In essence, the devil comes before God and asks God to, if he can have permission, to put a few more links in the chain when it comes to reaching Peter. And God here grants him that permission. The temptation that the devil comes at Peter with is one that's common to all of us as well. Satan loves to kind of pit our affiliation and devotion to Christ against this strong urge and desire in us to fit in with the world, to kind of go along with what the world would think and want. and cause us then in that state and in that tension between devotion to Christ and what the world would think we should be doing, to cause us in that state to view Christ and our relationship to Him as an impediment, as something that gets in our way of having things go well for us in life. And even more than that, maybe even an embarrassment. God would have us, as we look at this text, ask ourselves, each one of us, so what's going on behind the curtain in my spiritual life? Where are the additional links in the chain that the devil has requested for a little more reach when it comes to me and where I'm at? And we can see from Jesus' own words regarding his response to this situation, we can tell from that Satan's true intent was not just to get Peter to say a few stupid things and that was about it, which all of us are capable of doing at times. But it was more than that. The true intent of the devil was to grab and ultimately spiritually devour Peter, to move him from being a potential apostle to becoming an apostate. And that is always the ultimate work of the devil. It's not just to get you to sin. It's not just to get you to like doing what you do on your computer or with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or shoplifting. You name the sin, whatever it is. It's not just to get you to grab that for an instance. Who cares? That's done and over with. But inside of that temptation is always his desire to move you into apostasy, and me as well, to gut our faith, to destroy our devotion to Christ. And we see that reflected in our Lord's response about the situation. Peter had not yet come to grips with the depth of his own depravity and his own weakness and sinfulness. In his arrogant pride, he imagined that this kind of a fall could never happen to him. You know, I bet if you could have caught Noah in the middle of building the ark and had a conversation with him, it might have been tempting for him at the time to think, I could never imagine myself months from now, or maybe years from now, drunk in my tent and naked. The one that God had chosen to build this ark, that couldn't happen to me. David, when he was the young man that took his slingshot and killed the giant Goliath and saw that God had anointed him to be the next king, I bet it would have been hard for him at a certain point in his life to imagine that he would go out and bring Bathsheba up to his room and sleep with her and kill her husband and cover the whole thing up. It's easy for us, all of us, to kind of puff ourselves up and imagine that we are such righteous and godly people and pious, God-fearing people. How could I could ever imagine something like that happening to me? But God would have all of us wake up to the harsh reality of just how weak we are, just how depraved our natural condition truly is. What great irony that Peter, whose name itself means the rock, will end up being jello in the temple courtyard in just a matter of hours from this. Don't ever underestimate how weak we are on our own. To him who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. But what comfort we find here as well in how our Lord Jesus prays for Peter. At the same time that the devil has come before God to make this special request to add some links into that chain, our Lord Jesus now reassures Peter that he has come before God with his own requests that are much greater. And that is that even if Peter would be so tempted and even if he were to fall, that God would restore him and bring him back. How reassuring it is to know that your Lord Jesus, the great mediator between sinful people like us and a holy God, that he makes prayers on your behalf. Isn't it? It's neat when we know that fellow Christians are praying for us. Just think of this. God is praying for us. Christ, the Lord himself, the King above all evil authorities in the world, he goes before his Father and pleads your case. How comforting and reassuring is that? We may be surprised that God grants the request of the devil to permit this temptation to come to Peter, but Jesus knows well the wonderful positive impact this will have on Peter in the future, and the impact it will have as well on his church. Christ is even here thinking ahead to us sitting here right now today learning a lesson from this, and what a positive benefit that will be. I'm sure that from this point forward, when Peter had opportunity to work with various individuals who had fallen into sin, I bet he could recall this instantly in his memory and how graciously Christ had restored him. Years ago, I saw a beautiful pencil drawing. An artist had done a nice job of looking over Peter's shoulder at Christ, who was standing with his hand on his shoulder, and the eyes of Christ were looking into him when he restores him after the resurrection and puts him back into the position of being his apostle. How reassuring it is that God can take us even when we have fallen to great depths and bring us back. And not only that, not only reassure us in his grace and forgiveness and how deep that is, but to even use us in his kingdom. If you have fallen, or maybe someday will fall greatly into something that really embarrasses you, and by God's grace you've been restored again, don't be surprised if the Lord uses you to help someone else in the same way. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Let us rise. Please join me in one of the collects on page 152. 152. Collect number 41 is the epistle collect for this past Sunday. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us, and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that he may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.